questions. And Sukadev Goswami has been answering those questions by telling how Brahma was questioned by Narada. And in the course of Brahma answering the questions of Narada, Brahma has explained to Narada how he had performed austerities after having taken his birth from the lotus of the Lord's navel, and how after performing those austerities for so many years, the Lord was pleased with him, and the Lord showed him the Vaikuntha planets, and then the Lord, upon hearing the request of Brahma to learn the science of God, the Lord, Sri Bhagavan, spoke to Brahma the Chatur Sloki Bhagavatam, the entirety of the Bhagavatam in four verses, which contain four principal topics: Gyan Vigyan, Rahasyam, and Tarangam, or knowledge realization, which is Sambandhagyan, and then the Rahasyam, which is the Prayojan, or the final goal of love for Krishna, and secondarily the Avideya, or the process of attaining love for Krishna, which is bhakti, primarily hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is the conclusion, actually, that one should hear and chant and engage in bhakti yoga in all times, in all circumstances, regardless of one's position, one's purity, or one's impurity. There's nothing else to be gained, truly, in this world. And all our material needs should be satisfied in such a way that we advance in bhakti, our devotion to Krishna advances. So Brahma heard these four verses from the Lord, and then the Lord in text 37, he refers again to Brahma's question, which was, how can I go about the creation, doing this work of creation which takes so much passion, and when one creates something, one tends to feel that I am the doer. It is me who has done this. This is the creative impetus which is going to be described by the Lord. I think it is called uti in the words of me that we'll hear later on in the 10th chapter. So when one has that creative impetus, along with it comes the creator's false ego, generally, where he thinks that I am the doer and there is no impetus to creation unless that false ego, that abhiman, that conception of life is present. So Brahma didn't want that to be present, because he had performed austerities and had gotten mercy from Krishna. He performed those austerities to please Krishna, and after pleasing Krishna, he didn't want to again be trapped by Maya. And as soon as one becomes proud, one is an illusion. And the tendency again is when one does work, especially creative work, when one deals with the motive passion, the tendency is to think oneself very powerful and kartaham, viktimanyate. One thinks that I am the one who has done this. So Brahma didn't want to get bewildered by that pride. So he asked the Lord, who had just shaken his hand, said, how can I do this work of creation yet not become bewildered by pride? So after speaking in answer to that, this Chatur Sloki Bhagavatam, then in text 37, the Lord continues, Etanmatam samathista paramena samadhina Bhavan kaupabakalpeshu nabhavimuryatikarichit. O Brahma, the Lord says, just follow this conclusion by fixed concentration of mind. What conclusion? the conclusions that are spoken of in this Chaturshloki, fourth sloka, four verse Bhagavatam, where the Lord tells Brahma that it is me who is everything, there is nothing in existence outside of me, I am the all-powerful. And anyone who sees anything in operation as if it is separate from me, he is just seeing another one of my energies, the Maya or illusory energy. And therefore, if you love me, you will see only me in everything that you do. And you should develop that love by always hearing and chanting about me and engaging in my service. So, if one, the Lord says to Brahma, if you follow this conclusion by fixed concentration, samadhi. Samadhi means concentration or the concentration of the mind, and sama means equal. If your mind, regardless of what is going on externally, is fully fixed on these conclusions, that you are my servant, that all this energy that you're dealing with is mine, and that you're working under my guidance and creating what has already been created by me, you're the secondary creator, then if you have your mind fixed in your relationship with me, following my order, then no pride will disturb you, neither in the partial nor in the final devastation. So, this knowledge, the more one fixes one's mind on it, will remove all false ego and fix us as the servant of Krishna. Now, those are the four verses that are summed up, that sum up the entirety of the Bhagavatam. And certainly, the Lord Himself is speaking to Brahma. And somehow or another, as Prabhupada explains in the purports, when impersonalists interpret these verses, they interpret it to mean something impersonal. But there, amazingly enough in the sense that they get their interpretation, they squeeze out, as Prabhupada would say, an impersonal interpretation, that the Absolute is impersonal. But there, a person is speaking. He's saying, I am the one. And still, somehow or another, they say, well, what he really means when he says I is the unborn, unmanifest. Completely ridiculous. So Prabhupada explains that if one wants to actually understand these conclusions, and the same point was explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the same point was explained by Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhagavad Sandarbha, that if one wants to actually understand these conclusions, one has to accept and hear them and accept the shelter and the explanations of a bona fide spiritual master in the Guru Parampara coming down from Lord Brahma. Because in that way, the way that Lord Brahma heard, you will understand, we will understand that same way. So, there's no question of there being an impersonal conclusion on this, after all this coming to something impersonal. Now, if one accepts a bona fide spiritual master and follows his instructions, a detachment occurs. A detachment from matter occurs, which impersonalists cannot get. So this is the first thing. If one wants to be free from pride, if one wants to be free from false ego, one has to become detached. Because as long as we are trying to get something for ourselves from our activities, our pride and our ownership over those activities, it is me who is doing that, will be present. So just by practicing the process, the Avideya Tattva, the process of devotional service under the guidance of a spiritual master, one gets sufficient knowledge, or rather sufficient detachment, to actually be able to understand these verses properly. And that detachment is due to self-satisfaction. This is what Prabhupada explains in the purport up to this point. Self-satisfaction, what does self-satisfaction mean? That by practicing the process of bhakti yoga, I am feeling internally happy. And the result of that internal feeling of satisfaction, and the internal feeling of satisfaction comes how? Because I am engaged in my natural position as Krishna's servant. And that brings more satisfaction than the playing of the senses with the sense objects. So naturally one becomes detached. So when one is situated in detachment and self-satisfaction, then one can understand this chapter sloki Bhagavatam. And one can enter into it very, very deeply. So Brahma had done that when the Lord had told him, tapa, he had surrendered, understanding that sound vibration was from Krishna. He had surrendered and he had pleased the Lord. He was a direct disciple of the Lord, Brahma was. And because of that, the Lord was pleased with him and gave him the ability to understand the full science of devotion summarized in this chapter, Sloki Bhagavatam. So, therefore, we'll read some from the purport over here. In this full stage, in this stage of full satisfaction and detachment from the sensory world, one can know the mystery of the science of God with all its confidential intricacies, and not by grammar or academic speculations. One has to understand it properly in Guru Parampara. Because Brahma qualified himself for such reception, the Lord was pleased to disclose the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. This direct instruction by the Lord to any devotee who is detached from the world of sense gratification is possible. So we have to gain what Brahma gained, we have to act as Brahma acted. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satatayuktanam Bhajatam Pratipurvagam, that for one who is always worshipping me in devotion, Krishna says, with Bhajatam Pratipurvagam, who's worshipping me constantly with priti, with great devotion, Dadami, I give, Buddhi Yogam Tam, I give to him the understanding, Yena Mamupayanti Te, by which he can come to me. Unto the devotees who are constantly engaged in the Lord's transcendental loving service, Pratipurvakam, the Lord, out of his causeless mercy upon the devotee, gives direct instruction so that the devotee may make accurate progress on the path returning home back to Godhead. One should not, therefore, try to understand these four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam by mental speculation. Rather, by direct perception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that means samadhi, one is able to know all about his abode, Vaikuntha, as was seen and experienced by Lord Brahma. Such Vaikuntha realization is possible by any devotee of the Lord situated in the transcendental position as a result of devotional service. In the Gopal, so that's the first conclusion that we're reaching here. That anyone who becomes detached from matter, who follows, who surrenders to the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master and follows his instructions, in other words, he takes shelter of the Guru Parampara, A person like that will become detached from matter, and he will become engaged in affectionate loving service to Krishna, and then he will gain, by Krishna's mercy, direct realization of these truths, or all the truths. Of course, this is basically the truths. Sambandha Abhideyam Prayoja. So that is what Brahma achieved. Because one fixes oneself as a servant, that is the principle. And then when one is a servant and something occurs by the potency of the master, then where is the question of pride? That's like if the representative of a country in the United Nations. So the ambassador, he's in the United Nations. And he tells the General Assembly that my country is going to attack another country. Or rather, my country is going to give $2 billion worth of aid to some poor country. So if he thinks himself that $2 billion is coming from me, if he gets entangled because his words have pledged it, my country will give $2 billion. So if he thinks I am pledging it, it's due to my power, how much illusion he is in. But if he sees himself simply as a servant, then no pride touches him, even though he's doing such a big and powerful and important service. So that comes through understanding the absolute truth very deeply, understanding one's relationship as a servant. So therefore, again, the verse says, O Brahma, just follow this conclusion by fixed concentration, in other words, samadhi. You realize this. You realize this, and no pride will disturb you, which was Brahma's fear. Now, so that ends one important point, which is the answer to Brahma's question. And if we ourselves want to get out of the material world and material consciousness, there is no other process other than following Lord Brahma. This is the meaning of Brahma being our acharya. Now, the next question is, who is actually speaking? Who is the one who is speaking this Chaturshloki Bhagavatam to Brahma? So on first reading, because the Lord shows Brahma Vaikuntha, one may think that it is the Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan, or Gavadaksha Vishnu, or Karanadaksha Vishnu. But actually, it is not. It is Krishna himself who is speaking this. And by Krishna's grace, he then shows Brahma the Vaikuntha realm, which we'll also hear about in Canto 3. Now, here is the explanation of that. In the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Shruti, that means the Upanishads means Vedic Shruti, it is said, Gopa Vesho Me Purusha Purastad Avir Bhavuva Avir Bhavuva. The Lord appeared before Brahma as a coward, as a cowboy. That is, as the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna Govinda, who is later described by Brahmaji in his Brahma Samhita, Chintamani Prakarasadmaso Kaupa Briksha Laksha Vrate Shisurabhi Ravipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Satasam Brahmasev Yamanam Govindamari Purusham Tamam Vajami. Brahmaji desires to worship the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, who resides in the topmost Vaikuntha planet known as Golok Vrindavan. where he is in the habit of keeping Saravi cows as a cowboy, and where he is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, the gopis, with love and respect. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna is the original form of the Supreme Lord, Krishnastu Bhagavan Sayam. This is also clear from this instruction. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna, and not directly Narayan or the Purusha avatars, which are subsequent manifestations. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam means consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So the purpose, the Bhagavatam, this original Bhagavatam, is spoken by Krishna himself to give realization of Krishna. There is no other purpose to the Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the sound vibration of the Lord as much as the Bhagavad Gita is. Thus the conclusion is that Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of the Lord in which the Lord and his abode are perfectly realized. Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhagavat Sandarbha comes to the same conclusion. Lord Brahma saw in the Vaikuntha planets the personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of the entire devotee community, the Lord of the goddess of fortune, the Lord of all sacrifices, and the Lord of the universe, and who is served by the foremost servitors like Nanda Sananda Prabhal Arhana, his immediate associates. In these words of Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as the words of Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Lord Krishna is described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna is never described, not Narayan with four arms, but Krishna himself, is never described as an incarnation of Lord Narayan, Lord Garbhadaksha Vishnu, or the Purusha avatars. Again, the point is being made by Srila Prabhupada, by Jiva Goswami, that Krishna himself is speaking, and this is important because we want to make sure that we understand the actual purpose of the Bhagavatam is to know Krishna, not to know anyone else but Krishna. Krishna, the cowherd boy. Nanda Nandana Krishna. Gopi Jana Balava Krishna. This is the purpose of the Bhagavatam. And therefore, because it describes Lord Krishna, the speaker of these four verses as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, this Mahapurana is called Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Jiva Goswami quotes so many verses that explain again that Lord Krishna himself is the original speaker of the Bhagavatam. He quotes from the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. He quotes from the 2nd canto of the Bhagavatam. He quotes again from the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam. So there are many verses like this, maybe 5 or 6 verses. And then, again, the purpose of this understanding, the importance of this understanding, is to understand that the Bhagavatam is spoken by Krishna, it is speaking about Krishna, and its goal is love for Krishna. And then, to make this point even clearer, Srila Jiva Goswami quotes that not only does the Bhagavatam have this goal, but the Vedas have this goal, and all Shastras, all scriptures have the same goal, to understand Bhagavan. And then he quotes from the Sringa Tapani Upanishad, the demigods, the sages who desire liberation, and the Brahmavadis, they all meditate and bow down to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Katha Upanishad, because sometimes the Upanishads are interpreted as if the goal was something impersonal. But here Jiva Goswami is showing clearly by quoting the Upanishads themselves that the goal is not impersonal, but it is Krishna, Bhagavan. All the Vedas meditate from the Katha Upanishad on the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all austerities chant his glories. From Shruti Shastra, I ask about the Supreme Person who is described in the Upanishads. Krishna says himself in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedescha Savaraham Eva Vidyo. Vedanta Krit Veda Ved Eva Chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. So again, the purpose of all study is to know Krishna. In the Skanda Purana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is named by all names and is worshipped by all the Vedas. In the Vishnu Purana, we offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the eternal author of the Vedas. In the Skanda Purana, in the Padma Purana, in the Brahma Tarka, in the Bhagavatam, both directly and indirectly. So Jiva Goswami is proving this. So we understand clearly what the goal of the Srimad Bhagavatam is, and we don't think in any way that the goal of spiritual realization is anything impersonal. No, it is to learn to love Krishna, Prayojana Tattva. So that having been said, the topic changes. So Brahma has received his instructions from the Lord. Then Sukadeva Goswami, who is explaining this to Maharaj Prakrit, says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, after having been seen in his transcendental form, instructing Brahmaji, the leader of the living entities, he disappeared. So this, the Absolute is impersonal. There he is. He disappears. After he's in his form, he's seen by Brahma, and Brahma worships him. Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So how is it possible that he's impersonal? So Prabhupada explained in the purport, in the middle of the purport, Srimad Bhagavatam gives us this information as the supreme Vedic literature, that the Lord is personal. And it was personally instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to Brahmaji, so that the leader of the living entities might broadcast the message to all in the universe in order to teach the supreme knowledge of Bhakti Yoga. Brahmaji, in his turn, instructed Narad, his beloved son, the same message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Narad, in his turn, taught the same to Vyasadeva, who again taught it to Sukadeva Goswami. Through Sukadeva Goswami's grace and by the mercy of Maharaj Prakrit, we are given the Srimad Bhagavatam perpetually to learn the science of the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So therefore, on the disappearance, text 39, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he disappeared after telling Brahma to assimilate this and he will not be touched by pride. Hari, on the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is the object of transcendental enjoyment for the senses of devotees, Brahma, with folded hands, began to recreate the universe full with living entities as it was previously. So, in Prabhupada's purport, he explains the purpose, again, we've spoken about this before, of Brahmaji's, or rather of the universe, and why Brahmaji wanted to create it, and how is it devotional service. So Prabhupada quotes the Hari Bhakta Sudodaya. There is the following verse. Akshno phalam tadisha darshanam hi tano palam tadisha gatra sangha jiva palam tadisha kirtanam hi sudolava bhagavata hi loke. O devotee of the Lord, the purpose of the visual sense, the eyes, is fulfilled simply by seeing you. And to touch your body is the fulfillment of bodily touch. The tongue is meant for glorifying your qualities, because in this world, a pure devotee of the Lord is very difficult to find. Prabhupada continues after quoting that verse. Originally, the senses of the living entity were awarded for this purpose. So here he's going to explain the purpose of the universe. Namely, So first he's explaining the purpose of the senses, to engage them in the transcendental loving service of the Lord or that of his devotees. But the conditioned souls, illusioned by the material energy, become captivated by sense enjoyment. In other words, instead of using the senses to serve Krishna, we become captivated by the senses, and they're thinking that if I enjoy my senses, then I'll be happy. Therefore, the whole process of God consciousness is meant to rectify the conditioned activities of the senses and to re-engage them in the direct service of the Lord. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. Lord Brahma thus engaged his senses in the Lord by recreating the conditioned living entities to act in the recreated universe. This material universe is thus created and annihilated by the will of the Lord. It is created. Now here's the reason why this entire, everything that we see is in existence. Why? It is created to give the conditioned soul a chance to act, to return back to Godhead, to return home, back to Godhead. And servants like Brahmaji, Naradaji, Vyasaji, and their company become busy with the same purpose of the Lord. The same purpose of the Lord, to reclaim the conditioned souls from the field of sense gratification and return them to the normal stage of engaging the senses in the service of the Lord. So this is the purpose of the universe. And Brahma had such a confidential service to perform, to give all the souls, us, an opportunity to engage our senses in Krishna's service and make progress and go back to Godhead and end our being trapped in this material world, which is a promise only of happiness, but what it actually delivers is a kick. People want to get their kicks, and certainly they get kicked. Okay, so Brahma, this section is completed now. Now what happened next? Actually, what we'll hear is not what happened next, but what happened before. Because Srila Swami says that text 40 to 44 indicate the situation prior to the conversation between Brahma and Narada. If we remember, Narada approached Brahma and asked him so many questions. Are you the original creator? It appears that you're the one who's created everything. It is you. So, as a prelude to that, what was going on? What was it that made Narada ask those questions to Brahma? And also, how did, from these four verses, the 18,000 verses of this Bhagavatam become manifest? So this is going to be explained right now. So first, what happened before Brahma was speaking to Narada? Once upon a time, the forefather of living entities and the father of religiousness, Lord Brahma, situated himself in acts of regulative principles, desiring self-interest for the welfare of all living entities. We've heard about that. Narada, the most dear of the inheritor sons of Brahma, always ready to serve his father, strictly follows the instructions of his father by his mannerly behavior, meekness, and sense control. So that was Narada, such a perfect follower. Narada very much pleased his father and desired to know all about the energies of Vishnu, the master of all energies. For Narada was the greatest of all sages and the greatest of all devotees, O King. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains how the devotees naturally want to know more and more about Krishna. This is the natural inquisitiveness of a devotee. When our minds doesn't want to know more, it is not a good sign. When we are satisfied with what we know, meager as it is not a good sign. It is natural for the devotees to want to know more. So Narada, although he himself was a great devotee, a great preacher, such a qualified, practically speaking, he was the best of the devotees. He is called the Sura Rishi, the sage amongst the demigods. And he has so many exalted disciples, he himself is exalted. But yet he wanted to know more from Brahma. So therefore, Narada pleased his father. And how did he please him? Because he himself was such a great devotee. And he asked his father about the energies. So we have that question over here. Way back, we're just completing the ninth chapter now. So in the fifth chapter, Narada asks, he asks about the Lord. He asks Brahma whether he is the creator or not. The great sage Narada also inquired in detail from his father, Brahma, the great grandfather of the universe, after seeing him well satisfied. So this is the qualification of guru-disciple relationship, is this inquisitiveness. Prabhupada explains in the purport to 43. In the Bhagavad Gita, the process of understanding transcendental knowledge is directed as follows. Tadbiri pranipatena paripasnena sivaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva-darshana. Arjuna was advised to receive transcendental knowledge from the realized person by surrender, questions, and service. Receiving transcendental knowledge is not like exchanging dollars. Like you give one thing and automatically you get something back. Such knowledge has to be received by service to the spiritual master. It is not automatic. It is not business dealings. As Brahmaji received the knowledge directly from the Lord by satisfying him fully, similarly, one has to receive the transcendental knowledge from the spiritual master. And this kind of transcendental knowledge isn't just intellectual knowledge. The knowledge that is being spoken of here is realization. So the one has to receive the transcendental knowledge from the spiritual master by satisfying him. The spiritual master's satisfaction is the means of assimilating transcendental knowledge. One cannot understand transcendental knowledge simply by becoming a grammarian. The Vedas declare, Yasya deve parabhaktir yata deve tata guru tasya ite katita yata pakashante mahatmana. Only unto one who has unflinching devotion to the Lord and to the spiritual master does transcendental knowledge become automatically revealed. Such relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master is eternal. One who is now the disciple is the next spiritual master. And one cannot be a bona fide and authorized spiritual master unless one has been strictly obedient to his spiritual master. Brahmaji, as a disciple of the Supreme Lord, received the real knowledge and imparted it to his dear disciple Narada. And similarly, Narada, as spiritual master, handed over this knowledge to Vyas and so on. Therefore, the so-called formal spiritual master and disciple are not facsimiles of Brahma and Narada or Narada and Vyas. The relationship between Brahma and Narada is reality, while the so-called formality is the relationship between the cheater and the cheated. It is clearly mentioned herewith that Narada is not only well-behaved, meek and obedient, but also self-controlled. One who is not self-controlled, specifically in sex life, can become neither a disciple nor a spiritual master. One must have disciplinary training in controlling speaking, anger, the tongue, the mind, the belly, and the genitals. One who has controlled the particular senses mentioned above is called a Goswami. Without becoming a Goswami, one can neither become a disciple nor a spiritual master. The so-called spiritual master without sense control is certainly the cheater, and the disciple of such a so-called spiritual master is the cheater. So Prabhupada speaks so strongly here about the very heavy and high qualifications for becoming a true spiritual master and a true disciple. In other words, connecting fully and becoming exalted in consciousness. So the thrust here is how Brahma spoke and revealed everything to Narada. Thereupon, text 44, the supplementary Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which was described by the personality of Godhead and which contains 10 characteristics, four verses contains 10 characteristics, was told with satisfaction by the father Brahma to his son Narada. In succession, O King, the great sage Narada instructed Srimad Bhagavatam unto the unlimitedly powerful Vyasadeva, who meditated in devotional service upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, on the bank of the river Saraswati. So we read about this in the seventh chapter, the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh chapter, and Vyasadeva's meditation after being instructed by Narada is described specifically in the seventh chapter of the first canto. How Narada told Vyas that you should, if you want to understand that which will fully satisfy you, you should meditate through bhakti on the Lord, on the Absolute Truth. So Vyasadeva did that, and he fully realized that there's very wonderful verses, bhakti yogena manasi is one of them. So he meditated fully in bhakti, and he had through revelation, through samadhi, he realized fully the Lord, his energy, the jivas, and the maya shakti, which was vilajamanam, abhimukhe, his back, it was far away. And then he compiled all of that into the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anartha upasam shakshad bhakti yoga adhoksa jay lokasya janato vidvan sakre sapita samhita. Chakra Sapita Samhita, that Vyasadeva, being compassionate to the fallen souls who do not understand what is going on, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam so that they will understand the process of bhakti yoga. So clearly the Lord is a person. It was passed on in a personal way, and Vyasadeva meditated through bhakti yoga on Krishna, and he fully realized. Prabhupada explains in that purport, which is the next to last verse, right at the end, he said, when Vyasadeva fixed his mind in meditation, he did it in bhakti yoga. And he actually saw the Supreme Person with Maya, the illusory energy, its contraposition, in contraposition. As we have discussed before, the Lord's Maya or illusion is also a representation, because Maya has no existence without the Lord. Darkness is not independent of light. Without light, no one can experience the contraposition of darkness. However, this Maya or illusion cannot overcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but stands apart from Him. Therefore, perfection of meditation is realization of the personality of Godhead along with His transcendental activities. Meditation on the impersonal Brahman is troublesome business for the meditator, as mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, klesha dikataratesham avyakta taktatetasam. So that type of meditation on Krishna, to actually fully realize Him through bhakti, was described in the Prayojana verse of the Chatur-Sloki Rahasya verse, that through love one meditates upon the Lord and fixes his mind in samadhi and sees him everywhere. Yam sham sundaram achintya gunan sarupam govinda hari purusham tamaham vindami. So now, after describing how this Bhagavatam was going to be expanded from 4 verses to 10 topics by Narada on the instruction from Brahma to Narada, his disciple, now Sukadeva Goswami, we're returning to that, and he tells Maharaj Prakrit, your question as to how the universe became manifested from the gigantic form of the personality of Godhead, as well as other questions, I shall answer in detail by explanation of the 4 verses already mentioned. So that is back in the 8th chapter. Maharaj Prakrit asked Sukadeva Goswami, O learned Brahmana, it was formally explained that all the planets of the universe with their respective governors are situated in the different parts of the gigantic body of the Bharata Purusha, the universal form. So then he says, will you explain that? What is the actual position of that? Will you explain it? So that question has been answered at the beginning of the chapter and onward, how everything is coming from the Lord, and after that as well. And now there'll be more detail by expanding these 4 verses. All the questions will be further answered. Okay, thank you very much. We'll end here. So that is the 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We've been studying that for 2 weeks. Next week, if Krishna allows, we will conclude the 10th chapter, the final chapter of the 2nd canto. And then, if Krishna allows still further, the next week we will begin the 3rd canto, which is very, very wonderful. The 3rd canto begins by going back to something that happened in the 1st canto. And so hear about that. There's a wonderful story that we'll hear. At that time, we'll leave the creation of the universes for a little while and go back to the wonderful story of Vidura and Uddhav and the Pandavas. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
The
application
to Brahma as opposed to leaving, why was it when it was disappearing? Is it like magic?
You mean, why did he vanish?
No, I said that he disappeared.
So disappeared is like vanishing, right?
Yeah.
Why did he vanish as opposed to like walking slowly off stage or something? Good question. Dantrini, you can answer that one. Why did Krishna not slowly walk off as the sun was setting as opposed to disappearing? She'll think about it and let you know.
Okay.
Wait, let me just see. Let me just. What? That's text 38, is it? And what is the Sanskrit word? Nyaranat, disappeared. That's how he chose to leave. What can be said? He appeared quite sometimes like that too. Good point. Okay. Next question. Anyway, tomorrow is his birthday. You should ask him.
He's appearing.
Why doesn't he just walk on? Why does he appear at midnight? Why doesn't he appear at 11:30? Well, 7 o'clock would be a lot easier on us, wouldn't it? If he appeared at 7 o'clock, we could take rest earlier. Now, why doesn't he appear at 7 o'clock? Did you ever think about that?
No.
Yeah, think about it. It's deep. Yes. Well, Brahma lives for 100 years, and every kalpa, which is, he creates every night he goes to sleep, there is a creation, and he wakes up and creates again. That's basically what happens. So it's the same Brahma who does the creation again and again, but Brahma also dies, and then a new Brahma comes. And also there are so many different universes where there are so many different Brahmas. Mm-hmm. But this Brahma creates many, 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 and recreates many times, but he forgets. So the creation will be explained more. So in the third canto, we'll have a chance to go over that again. And Brahma's position is more prominent than the, as far as the creation is concerned. This was the creation, this was the primary creation, described more the creation of the Lord, that the Lord does. But the creation of Lord Brahma and how that works is more in the third canto. Thank you. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam.